אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 4.
We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, the article Love of God and the Love of Man. We are in the heading One Mitzvah, One Commandment. You can ask questions on our site. Pertinent questions will be asked during the lesson. We're reading under the heading One Mitzvah in the Love of God and Love of Man. This raises several questions. According to the first said, we all sin against the Torah. Moreover, we do not observe even the primary part of the Torah, since we observe the details, but not the actual rule. It is written, when you observe the will of the Creator, the poor are in others and not in you. For how can there be poor when everyone does what the Creator wants and loves their friends as themselves?
Meaning, it's impossible to be both in the ego, caring for oneself, and at the same time care for others and love the Creator. Those things contradict one another. Yes?
If we, let's say, take a spiritual parzuf, then you have the part that's called the Rosh, which decides to bestow. There's the Toch and there's the Sof. Meaning there is those two things. Meaning he also does a restriction on the reception and everything in one
place.
Wait a minute.
But he doesn't have a will to receive in order to receive. No, there's only a limitation there. Where he cannot receive in order to bestow light of Chokhmah and be adhered to the Creator with all the desires. But to the extent that he receives reforming light, he can correct himself where a part he relates to the Creator 100%, and in one part he's only in Chassadim. But he doesn't have klipot, shells. There's no patsuf where there's a part that is klipa, that is a shell there.
Meaning in the calculation, Rav, he doesn't see the whole patsuf?
Of course he does. I come to you and I want to eat at your place. I want to please you by that. And you want to feed me and thereby please me. As a result of this relationship, we unite through our mutual relationship. Then there is love, and we attribute this love to the Creator as well. No desires remain between us in which we want to harm one another. We are in the tzimtzum, restriction, above these desires. We build our relationship of love above our desires. If desires where we want to harm one another were to remain in us, this is called klipa. This doesn't belong to the spiritual patsuf. There's no such thing. After Adam HaRishon, we'll learn how it happens. You have worlds of klipot. But now, in the patsuf that has galgalta absag, all the patsufim in all the five worlds, you have only parts that either work in bestowal in order to bestow, which is the end of the patsuf, or bestowing or receiving in order to bestow, which is the interior of the patsuf, and the rosh, the head, makes the division. Okay? Yes, Moshe?
According to this explanation, until the shattering, all the discernments...
Everything is holy. Everything is holy.
Meaning all the negative discernments, theft and so on and so forth, don't belong there?
No, how can it be? Everything is under the Tzimtzum and the Masach and Ochozah. Love and bestowal.
Talking about even before the Tzimtzum. And Prina Dalet, we're talking only about the positive form?
Prina Dalet, the fourth phase, is everything. Which Prina Dalet are you talking about?
The Prina Dalet of the four phases of direct light.
The four phases of direct light. There she received as she was. It was not in order to receive. There was no intention specifically for me. But according to her desire, a desire that was established after the three phases of direct light, Prina Dalet receives in her desire. And she enjoys what she receives. And she enjoys and enjoys and enjoys and enjoys in Shoresh, root 1, 2, 3, 4 of Prina Dalet. She enjoys it she begins to discover this huge shame. What have I done? How did I receive? I didn't want to. I didn't know. Oh, like that, in Prina Dalet, in Dalet. Four in four. After she receives and enjoys, she criticizes, so to speak. She checks, examines, and that compels her to make the tzimtzum, to restrict herself. The tzimtzum also doesn't depend on her. We say it's her decision. It's not. You can't say it. It's a result of being full. Full of a desire to receive, the pleasure of the will to receive, and the desire to bestow of the Creator. Yes?
That's the whole kli of Prina Dalet?
Yes, everything. There's nothing else but that.
So if that's the whole kli, are there all the good discernments and also the bad, the negative ones and the positive ones?
You can say there is everything, but everything should be revealed. Everything besides Prina Dalet in Malchut Ein Sof exists in this Prina Dalet, and we only seemingly open up this Prina Dalet and explain what happens to her, what process she undergoes, what she feels along the way. I received from whom? He loves me. I love him. You know, she loves him in the way that she annuls herself. She is nothing else. He wants everything for me, but I can't do anything for him. But I have Prina Bet. I understand his relation. Until she comes to a state where, oh, what's happening? I can't stand this. I'm going to restrict myself completely. And everything else, the worlds, the shatterings, we inside, the hallway, the three lines, you name it. It is all happening within that Prina Dalet. It's as if she processes this relationship with the Creator. Everything is this Malchut Ein Sof. Everything is in her until she comes to the final solution, and it's the end of correction. Yes.
So I want to ask about that 2 points. On one hand, we're talking about Prina Dalet, only about that point which receives everything, and then it comes to the shame, and all the negative discernments seemingly aren't there. But if they are there, all the negative discernments, does she even move to that good state from there?
It's still not negative. Why is it negative? It's negative only that she discovers that she's receiving, and she decides for herself that this form of herself is unacceptable to her. But there is no prohibition. It's not forbidden. Except now she feels it. It's like a child who grew up and suddenly one day discovers that what he receives from his father and mother makes him, embarrass him. He can't receive from them anymore. He has to detach himself from them.
I'm talking about it. I'll talk about it like the human body. How does he all of a sudden become righteous if he's so deep inside?
It's the development of the will to receive. It makes him feel that by this he becomes detached from the root. And he feels how opposite he is from the root. And that oppositeness is called shame.
And what's bad about that? Why does he? No.
It's a flaw. It's a blemish in his will to receive and his independence. In this he feels himself inferior. He grew from the degree of anima to the degree of speaking. He has to arrange the relationship now. He can come to his mother later and with an attitude of doing a favor to his mother, to eat from her, to eat and receive from her. Yes, but it's a different relationship. He's independent. He's got his own. But he comes over to her house. Let's say he comes to her with his wife and kids to visit his mother. He brings a bottle of wine or something, like you come to be a guest at someone's house.
If it's like a graph, so it kind of goes down, and then he starts to go up.
Yes. He ascends in a different way, in a way that he wants to be similar to the Creator. after the Tzimtzum, the restriction, all his operations are only in order to become similar. And what the Creator wants to give him, he has it. Malchut Ein Sof, although we restricted it. But in spirituality, nothing disappears. There's no absence. And then he knows what he has. Now, over everything he has, not only does he have it, but the Creator's relation, not what he receives, but the Creator's relation, this is what he calculates on now. This is his intention with the Tzimtzum, that now I'm going to calculate. Will I be able to achieve the same intention that he has toward me? And then he builds these heads, Roshim, of the Potsufim, and they all add up to a great amount. Okay? The left side, they're only laughing. Today they have.
No.
Yes?
They say that the vessel of reception, the light of the Or Chozer becomes a vessel of reception. That's really the kli of the goof, of the body?
The Or Chozer is not a kli, it's a condition. A condition to activate my kelim in order to bestow. The light can't be a kli. The light is an intention. I want to give you. Do you have something to give? Yes. I, as a created being, can give you my kelim. But what does it mean to give you? It means it's not for me. Although I really want to receive everything you have, I put a tzimtzum on it. And then above the tzimtzum, I prepare several such kelim in which I can enjoy only for you. I am dying to satisfy them, to enjoy in them. But I measure to what extent I can put, how much I can put into them in order to please you. But here's the point. It's to please you by satisfying my, filling myself with pleasure. So I don't just fill up water in the cup. I feel the pleasure in the will to receive. The will to receive has to enjoy. This pleasure I have to attribute to you and not to me. Right? In other words, I have to feel this pleasure as it comes into my vessel of reception while not enjoying, but the vessels of reception are filled with the intention to bestow. How do I make this calculation? How do I do it? This is the problem. Try not to eat a whole day, and then just take a slice of dry bread. Eat it in a way where you don't detach yourself from the Creator. When I said this to Rabash, that it makes me lose the taste of it. He started relating to me differently. I remember I told him there was a question. When I eat and with this intention, I don't feel the taste. I lose the taste. It disappears. I take something, I know what it should taste like. And if I really think of the Creator, it's tasteless. It's as if I'm chewing rubber. So what is this? Try it. There are many exercises. We'll do them. Okay. Let's continue.
We're continuing on the verse, and this is the issue. The issue of the Hebrew slave that the Jerusalem Talmud presents needs further study. The meaning of the text is that even if the foreigner is not Hebrew, he must love him like himself. And how could one explain that the rule for the foreigner is the same as that of the Hebrew, since one law and one ordinance should be both for you and for the stranger who dwells with you? The word ger, or proselyte, also means a residing proselyte, meaning one who does not accept the Torah except for retiring from idolatry. It is written about such a person, you may give to the stranger who is within your gates.
So we understand that Baal HaSulam writes his articles and everything he wrote. He wrote for a certain public that was in front of him at that time in the land of Israel. Normally, they all grew up in religious seminaries, even if they were secular. They all came from Eastern Europe, where everyone were connected to the Torah. So in order to not have all kinds of questions because of all of these philosophizing about the Gemara, he wrote in this way. But basically, what is he trying to say? There has to be love your friend as yourself without any limitation in all the kelim that a person can detect, that awaken in him. Yes?
This is the meaning of one mitzvah that the Tana speaks of when he says, performing one mitzvah sentences oneself and the entire world to the side of merit. It's very difficult to understand what the entire world has to do with this. We should not force or an explanation that is when one is half unworthy and half worthy, and the whole world is half unworthy and half worthy. For if we say so, we are missing the whole point. Moreover, the whole world is full of Gentiles and tyrants. So how can he see that they are half unworthy and half worthy? He can see about himself that he is half unworthy and half worthy, but not that the entire world is such. Furthermore, the text should have at least stated the whole of Israel. And why did the Tana add the entire world here? Are we guarantors for the nations of the world too? To add them to our account of good deeds?
This is what we're asking lately, right? Should we relate to all the people in this way, to all the nations of the world, regardless of how they treat us? Are they too in the general public, that also in the public that also has to be in love of others? Yes?
We must understand that our sages spoke only of the practical part of the Torah, which brings the world and the Torah to the desired goal. Therefore, when they say one mitzvah, they certainly mean a practical mitzvah. This is certainly, as Hillel says, meaning love your friend as yourself. It is by this mitzvah alone that one attains the real goal, which is dvikut, adhesion with the Creator. Thus, you find that with this one mitzvah, one observes the entire goal and purpose.
Meaning, on the way to dvikut with the Creator, which is the goal, from which the whole matter of creation started, and which in the end compels us to come to it, and we have no escape from it. Along the way, we must observe, love your friend as yourself, without any limitations, toward each and every one, and toward everyone together.
Now, there is no question about the mitzvot between man and the Creator, because the practical ones amongst them have the same purpose of cleansing the body, the last point of which is to love your friend as yourself, after which immediately comes the dvikut. There's a general and particular in this. We come from the particular to the general, for the general leads to the ultimate goal. Thus, it certainly makes no difference from which side to begin, whether from the particular or from the general, as long as we begin and not stay neutral until we reach our goal.
Questions? Neither left nor right. Oh, I have Yochai.
My teacher, since we started talking about this shame and everything, I'm not capable of thinking about the fact that everything comes from the Creator. It's worse than death.
Why?
Every person here is sure that he has a measure of independence.
Yes, the ego in us shows this to each of us.
If the Creator has revealed that, all disappears. All correct. The actions, all the thoughts, desires.
All of creation, if the Creator were revealed, all of creation would disappear. In order for it not to disappear, what does he want? He wants it to acquire a quality, the same measure of bestowal of independence as he has. And then he will be able to reveal in them, to be revealed in them, and they will not disappear. Now you understand why all these things are for? Because he wants to be revealed in them. And if he were to be revealed now, the will to receive would be annihilated. Revoked. Foop. And that's it. It's gone. Yes?
But everything's erased. You can't receive something and still remain independent.
No. If you, although you are zero, but if you prepare yourself toward the host, that you're receiving everything in order to give back to him, this form remains. Because everything that will shine for you will all be coming from the host. He gave you the will to receive. He gave the desire to bestow, the desire to receive. He gave the pleasure. He gave you the power of the masach. And you do everything like him, similar to him. So even if he is revealed completely, you still remain. Precisely because you and he became his partners. He needs you and you need him. This is why after all the corrections, everything is revealed at the end of correction. Yes?
Will I be able to sustain myself only? I'll only be able to do so if I receive everything and I attribute to him?
Yes.
Anything?
Everything. And then you exist. You stand like him.
And the independence isn't cancelled?
On the contrary, this is your independence. You become like the Creator.
Upon that thought, all of the independence remains?
Yes. Yes. That's the reason it's built like that. So that we will not disappear, and the Creator will be able to be revealed in us. Otherwise, if he were revealed, the will to receive would disappear. The will to receive doesn't disappear because it's covered with the aim to bestow. So, it's sustainable.
By letting him bestow to us?
By letting him bestow upon us, so that on your part, you will bestow upon him. And you are dependent on each other, adhered to one another. This is the whole of creation. I hope that soon it will become revealed in practice. Even now we feel it already more than before. Then when we learned Ticha, the preface, or even this essay, in just a few months it changed. Today is a little different. I feel the excerpt a little different. More questions?
Yesterday we started the Ramchal duties. Turns out that it's about 20 minutes per 10 around the globe.
When?
After the lesson in the holiday where you recommend to do it, Denise from Moscow sent a link.
After the lesson?
Yeah, groups throughout the world.
During the day or after the morning lesson?
Right after the morning lesson, throughout the whole day.
So each group in the world?
Every group takes about 20 minutes.
And can you see it somewhere? There's only a spreadsheet?
There's just a spreadsheet for this. So if you can maybe give us some kind of direction for this time that the groups that your tens on duty.
The question is this. Are everyone in this desire, in this intention, in order to do it in practice, we divide it into, say, how many groups are there in the world? 20, 30 groups. Only tens.
Into tens.
Fine, so let's say 30 tens. I don't know how many. 50. So we individuals too, we all want to be in order to bestow in the connection between us and from within us to the Creator. And we can't keep being connected to each other all the time around the globe. We work, but by doing this in this way, we support them. We don't forget about them. This is what I'm trying to say. It's not like I have my group, my 10, and once a day for half an hour or even less, right? We are responsible. We read an article, we sing, we talk among us, etc. And the rest of the time, I'm detached. I want to constantly be connected to it in some way. Except I have my half hour that I do it in practice. And the rest of the time, I just belong to it. But what they do, can I hear it or see it? Doesn't matter in what language. Or how does it happen?
Denis.
Hello.
Moscow.
He's not there?
Да, мы пока точно не договорились между нами, каким образом выполнять, потому что только...
For the time being, we didn't decide exactly in what way we're going to implement it, meaning all the groups, simply the whole group took a certain period of time throughout the 24 hours. There's still a few voids, and I hope that today, throughout the day, we will scrutinize between us how to do it.
Great. Very well. Okay. This is really worthwhile. Okay. It's a good time for progress. Very good. We received the Torah somehow, some illumination. And now we should go through several crises. The 9th of Av is approaching, etc. But by this, instead, we want to see an ascent. The day that the third temple is built. Okay, I see you don't want to. Yes.
About the Ramchal Dodi, we can do it on Zoom.
I don't know, but this don't turn to me. Talk about it later to them. If it all works out, just let me know how.
As one who's sometimes responsible with the stomachs of the friends here.
Last Friday I ate your hummus. It was all right.
Long ago, it's not mine. It's a team, and
yeah, but you're the chef.
I am the author. When we're preparing a meal for the friends, the desire and the goal is for it to be tasty for them, or for it to just satiate them, for it to really be tasty for them, or it's enough for it to fill them.
What do you think?
I only tasty.
Only that.
Only tasty. I don't care. Tasty? Let them do the spiritual work, but it should be tasty for them.
Okay, so tasty. But tasty enough, or you give them a little bit, to take a bite, and then stay with their desire?
I personally would like for them to keep a flavor of more, but we give abundance.
And what do you think, we should do it or not?
I said that I prefer to have a little bit of
less,
lacking a little
less,
bit.
Not give them as much as they want.
Not until they vomit.
Maybe they should put that limitation on themselves.
That's already on them, not on me.
Think about how it should be done.
But the intention to invest more in the desire for it to be tasty for them in the meal?
To be tasty in this way. Give them a bowl, a central bowl with your hummus for 10 people, but not have quite enough for 10.
Then they'll eat one another.
They might, but they might not. They might want to fill it up with their inclination toward each other.
We can try.
There are many exercises in this. We'll talk about them later. For now, it's still too soon. Okay, so this evening we have no lesson. There's a recorded lesson because I have video, a video shooting. Yes, quickly.
About the Ramchal duty, so the friends from Moscow, not just Moscow, the Russian speakers, since 2017 have a WhatsApp group that there's a table and each writes that he's holding that intention. They're doing this exercise for since 2017.
Fine, so try to renew it and do it among everyone. Yes, Moshe.
One more question about the organization of the meal spiritually. I have three options. I have one option to come to the meal and participate and pay and eat. I have another participation option to participate to pay something, but not to eat together with the friends, and because all kinds of reasons. I have an option to not be in the place where the meal is at all. What's the most preferred for spiritual advancement?
If you have a problem with the food itself, you don't eat. Are you not paying because of this? Should you not pay because of this? I saw behavior where a person still pays, a corrected person. He still pays, but he doesn't eat. He doesn't eat. Well, partial payment, whatever. But in this way. So he takes some pita bread, a little bit of oil, salt, pepper, that's it. He eats this pita bread, pita with egg, whatever. Takes a bite. And, yes? Give it to him and that'll be the end.
Rav, while we are building the second floor, how later do we advance together?
To the third and fourth and fifth. That's the end. Dudi, did you understand about love your friend as yourself that it's without any limitations? From this article we just read.
Yes, I didn't understand what is unlimited.
That it's for everyone. A person has to come to a state where he loves everyone.
It doesn't matter who.
What does it come from? From the fact that what appears to a person, he who falls, falls in his own defect. And he has to come to a state where he corrects himself from within. And then to him, all the people all over the world are complete righteous because he corrected himself.
In the end.
Yes. But it doesn't...
For the time being, the proselyte's a proselyte.
Yes, but it doesn't mean you don't love them. You have to correct yourself so that you love everyone. We will read more about it. And...
Thank you to our TV viewers, and good day. The Fundamentals to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, our campus is happy to invite you to meetings to be acquainted with the course that's opening up today, Tuesday in Kfar Saba, and tomorrow, Wednesday, the 12th of June in Carmel. Entrance is 30 shekels and RSVPing. Details on the phone 1-700-509-209 or on the site kab.co.il. Women Connect for the Unification of the Nation on Sunday, June 16th in the evening. We're going to meet for a special meeting of connection and joy in Kabbalah Lam Center in Petah Tikva. We will have a gathering of friends, a lesson with Rav, of course. Participation for women only from age 18 and up. And now we're going to sing a song together.